2:31.
All right, we're going to get started. Very happy to be here for call number two, and hopefully that everybody's going to have a great Easter weekend here. But you can see let's start out with reviewing some of our habits. And as you recall, I think most of us, I think we have 30-some-odd participants that decided to put their homework in, and the homework again was, give me three habits that you would be willing to add to your daily routine. So it does require a little bit of thought, not much, kind of a rudimentary, easy way, easy homework assignment to start off the show here. So we did get quite a few cool ones. And here is, for instance, and I love the excitement in the voices and in the pens I could see, but a lot of us are deciding that we're going to actually read more. So this is good, and I think you know why. Quite a few of us are going to wake up earlier, and why wouldn't you? You know, we talk about our margins, how we have to get up earlier sometimes to get places. I'm looking at some faces in the room here, and a couple of us said that we might even plan the night before we go to work. Now, that would actually be cheating, because that is habit number one, being proactive. So, but actually, that's really cool, too. So, and we say that successful people do a lot of work on Sundays to prepare for the weekend. So that's usually a pretty good day. And especially I can recall as a teacher how that was a big day, because you didn't want to have any glitches during the week. So you had the day and the week planned out. Another one was very popular was journaling, writing stuff down. And we know this is, some of us have done it before, some of us are going to get back to it. And awesome to see this. We also talk about this in our physical training world, life coaching. You start writing your diet down. All right. You start writing what you're eating, and you already have a 50% chance of getting to the goal. So even so we know journaling is absolutely excellent. A lot of us are going to exercise. Some of us are actually going to make our beds. So it looks like Colonel McCraven, we actually heard that one. And one was offered up, one of our younger guys uses the Elevate app. And I thought that was pretty cool because my wife uses that. And if you're not familiar with the Elevate app, it's kind of a brain quiz, brain teasers, kind of keeps your brain sharp, kind of fits into the theme we're talking here of what habits are. So if you want to write that one down. I liked one or two about quality of family life. Going to start focusing a little bit more on the quality of family life. One actually had a very measurable keynote in here that he was going to kiss his wife every night. And so, well, that is a measurable act, and that's what we're going to get to here in a second. I'm looking at Christine here, one of our gals, and she was very much like me, wants to drink more water. We saw that one on quite a bit, and as you can see, I am drinking more water right now. And I'm going to use this as just an example, because here's the thing. When we see some of these habits that we wrote down, and again, rudimentary, pretty simple, we're never going to have these habits come to fruition unless we get a plan of action. And we know... and it's no dig on anybody, but, I can't just say I'm going to drink more water. I can't just say I'm going to eat better. I don't know what that means. And we saw a lot of that, and we know that's not going to be a change, and that habit's never going to hold, and it's never going to get on any traction if we don't have a measurable goal. Just dreams. I've talked about this before as a marathon runner and a marathon coach. You know, we say, what's the goal? And it's like to run a marathon. No, that's a dream. You know, how are we going to get that goal? What is the goal? Oh, okay, we're going to finish the marathon. All right, how are we going to do that? You know, what are you going to wear? What are the shoes? How much are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? How far are you going to run? How fast? We ask all these questions, but that's part of a very specific plan. I'm going to drink more water. All I need to do is write a couple of things down, and that is on Sunday nights, I'm going to go out to the store, and I'm going to buy 5 lemons. I'm going to have 1 lemon in the morning. I'm going to cut that up at 6 o'clock. I'm going to put it in a little jug, and I'm going to drink my water. I'm going to do that 3 times. That's how we start to get traction on a goal, and that's how we have to start thinking about it and how we're going to change a habit. One of the things I put down here is successful people learn how to set those goals. That's through an action plan, and I got to tell you, as a young teacher, special ed especially, we learn how to write IEPs, and we've talked about these before, individual educative plans. They were for kids that, you had to have them by law. And they were very measurable. Johnny will tie his shoes correctly 80% of the time, 3 times a day, and such and such in this time frame. It's got to be measurable. And that's how we actually start to to climb the ladder of that goal. So just write that down in your mind. Goals have to be measurable. We're never going to change a habit. I'm going to actually give Cody, who's on the line, he's going to win my 1,000 points of the day. And remember, the points don't matter. But he actually added a fourth. Can you believe it?
Oh.
One outside the box and added a fourth habit. So, and his was kind of fun because he's a field guy and he's talking about double-checking his work. And I love that, double-checking his work. I actually redefined that and put it in my book and said, look, that's a nice thing, but we have to follow up and follow through. That's an easy little mantra to remember. Follow up and follow through. And in the book, I put equals no fumbles. So you can say that pretty quick. Follow up and follow through equals no fumbles. You're not going to fumble. And one of the reasons we say we call people all the time is we're not going to fumble. The text, the email thing doesn't always work. So as we're talking about mentors and teachers and we're talking about us coaches, last week we brought up the parallel between the monks and the military. Really didn't get into much of that. Just two areas that I just particularly have some expertise in and can speak to. But when we start talking about discipline, you might remember we talked about Bonhoeffer's quote there, can't be free without discipline. We don't know life without any discipline. We're going to start into the habits. One of our underlying themes is going to be time management. And we have a lot of different definitions for time management. You're going to see how the habits actually define that for us. And that through discipline, we will actually become more successful. And it's not discipline like, you know, we're not whipping you with anything, not that kind of discipline. It's not that type. But anyway, you get where I'm going with this. But I want to take you back now, and I'm going to take you back to college, my college day, and it was, I forget the year now, memorizing. Yeah, that's right. We're going to memorize stuff. But, you know, we talked about liberal arts education, jack of all trades, master of none. And one of the things you had to do in a liberal arts education was, and one reason why I took a minor in theology, you had to have 9 hours of religion. And I had no idea what this was. And I was like, I'm not taking 9 hours of religion. Oh, yeah, you are. And so, you know, but after a couple of years, it was like, well, if I take two more classes, I can have a minor. I'll do that. And it was the same thing with philosophy. And you had to take 9 hours of philosophy. Now, that's three courses. And I can still remember philosophy of nature, philosophy of man, and ethics. These were not fun courses. These are the courses that made people quit college. But I can tell you, I still remember the one course was very cool because the guy who taught this, Father Matthew Scully, and I'll never forget, but he really had a profound way of teaching, and he was teaching us the old Eastern religion opposites, the yin and yang you've probably heard of. The concupiscible versus the irascible appetite. Probably haven't used that, heard that, had to use a couple big words, but good versus evil. You know, these are the things we're talking about, the givers and the takers. And he had a proposition once where he really made me become a student. And he said, my proposition is that I believe that the world's broken down into learners and non-learners. And somehow that got me, and I can remember saying, that's interesting, learners and non-learners. In today's world, we're looking at what learners we know are listeners. And we know that they're going to grow because they're listening. They observe more. We see learners have that will to succeed. That's why we love to see these guys that are reading. They read. The non-learners so much, not so much. Tend to keep doing stupid stuff. We don't seem to learn from our mistakes. You've heard that from your mothers. Repeatedly don't have a caring attitude. They don't care about what's happening. Self-defeating behaviors, that negative self-talk we see. So the non-learners have an uphill battle. Which is not to say they can't be successful. But I can still remember, as an athlete as well, this learner thing got to me, and I said, you know, I'm never going to lose. I'm not going to lose. I can't lose. And I can't lose because I'm either going to win or I'm going to learn. And that was that mantra I got from one little stupid class I didn't really want. So that I brought that into the athletic field, but even into the personal world. I'm not going to lose. I'm either going to win or I'm going to learn something. And as you know, we don't always win, so we better start learning something. So that's where we're going to pick this thing up, where how do we become better learners? And so as I'm looking at this, you know, I guess sometimes when we don't win, we learn a lesson. I think the number one lesson we've heard all the time is never underestimate your competitor. even as a sub shop. I had somebody just yesterday send me an article on Subway and how they're really revamping, how their loss of 1,000 stores has become their strength because now they've actually revamped and they've kind of reloaded and now even a smaller, well, you know, I'm not worried about Subway. I'm worried about us, but it's nice to never underestimate you. They're coming, and people are coming after us, especially when you're sitting on top. But at that time, I also wrote a poem, and the poem, you know, most of us here love poems. You're going to hear about more about poems. In fact, our last 10-week mentorship, the number one thing people did not want to do was write a poem. That was the hardest thing they said, and yet it was the most memorable. But this is the poem I wrote back in college, and it's very simple. Many win and forget. Many win and forget. Some lose and remember, but a champion wins and remembers. So the champion wins and doesn't take it for granted. The champion wins and, in other words, learns. And so that's really what we're saying. How do we learn? If you want to be a learner, it starts there. We have to learn how the brain works. And so, you know, we've heard this before. The quality of your life determines the quality of your thinking. The quality of your thinking determines the quality of your life. As a man thinketh, so he is. We can go through all these things about how everything starts in your brain. And the first challenge I want to throw out there is we've got to start becoming better learners by memorizing stuff, but memorizing names. And so recently, I found a little book, and I promised myself I'm not buying books every week, but sometimes I didn't write that down. So it's not. But this was one I couldn't help, and it was called Moonwalking with Einstein. But it was an interesting short book, but it was talking about some of the ancient ways we learned how to memorize stuff. And this is very intriguing to me because some of the sharpest people in the world and successful people in the world have great memories. And they're not savants, and they're not Rain Man. They're normal people that are developing their memory muscle, so to speak. And the guy that wrote this book was enamored because he went to a contest, a national contest for memorization. He was covering it as a journalist and just couldn't believe how these guys were working. I've actually seen one of these. And they were remembering, you know, one guy would look at a crowd of 100, he could pick out 50 names and with you know, a very short period of time. This guy went through a lot of the technique for a year, went back to the contest, and won. But what he found was that, again, it's, you know, we're strengthening our muscle, but most people that memorize stuff have a better retention of information. They can recall it quicker. They make better, quicker decisions. And what made me think of it immediately was on the news this morning, and I've been watching Jeopardy because my in-laws are in. And they're doing a great job, thank you. But yeah, so Jeopardy, I don't know if you've seen this, but front page news, the guy has won the most money. There's nobody that can beat this guy. And I know why. He has memorized a lot of the questions and answers. He can't be that smart in every category. But a lot of it is, some people call it a photographic memory. That's part of it. But a lot of it is he has read over and over again, and he's developed the memory. And, you know, we call it muscle memory for a reason. So we know this is really integral in any habit that we're going to design. Some of the other stuff I can remember is just recently, you know, when we remember names, it's a salesman I was talking to, and I had no idea he did his homework, but he said, as he opened up, how's your wife doing? How's your wife Kelly doing? Use the name. Oh, yes, and I heard already that you had a new daughter, but Evelyn's how old now? And, you know, he did some research. But we know the power of memorizing names. We want to start there. And we can all do a better job at this. It's one of those things. Dale Carnegie, we had a course not long ago here. Some of us attended. And we have that great quote from Dale Carnegie. The sweetest sound to any person in any language is the sound of your name. And so we know that that helps build relationships. And this guy was fairly, you know, I think he was pretty genuine. I don't think he was disingenuous. You know, I didn't feel that when he didn't really know me that well. But he still took the time. I knew he cared. And so that's a pretty good leadership trait, you might say. I look at, again, as a football fan, the Super Bowl, they were talking a lot about the coach from the Rams, Sean McVay. Sean McVay, youngest coach in the league, but he has probably the sharpest brain, and he has memorized his entire playbook. So he knows 200 plays at the tip of his tongue. And so this gives him a great advantage when he's calling plays, when he's designing plays, making adjustments. Just another example. But I'm looking at my watch, and I know I don't have too much more time. I'm going to give you the quote of the day, but first, one more short story about names. Here in our own community, way back in the day, we had a guy named Shannon Coe. Now, you probably never heard of Shannon Coe, but in our community here, Point Pleasant Beach, around the time Peter and I were playing, he was this older gentleman, wore the trench coat and the hat, and he knew all the kids. He followed all the games, older guy. You know, he wasn't a you know, Peeping Tom or any one of those guys. He was just one of the guys that loved kids, kind of like the coach Rod Smith, who was always around, and you know, he just loved kids. But he would know our names. He knew our names, and he would use our names quite a bit. He would recite them. And it was always pretty cool because you felt like, wow, this is another grandfather. But he was interested in us genuinely. And today, I actually had a gestalt because he is reincarnated now in John Cancro. So John Cancro now is this guy. Now he's getting gray hair. But he's walking around like this guy, and he knows the kids' names. He was down at the track yesterday talking about some of the kids. So just an awesome thing when you're talking about, again, names. This guy, Shannon Coe, would come up after the games, and he would call you by name and say, hey, you did a great job. And we would get in line. I remember getting in line, and we would say, hey, Shannon, how did I do? And he would say, Chip, you're doing a great job. And he said, Shannon, how did I do? And he'd say, Peter, you did a great job. And I'd say, Shannon, how did I do? And he'd say, Keith, you're okay. So that was, you know, that was the shtick. But at any rate, we're talking about a quote of the day, quote of the week, and here it is. Since most of us now are going to be dedicating to reading a little bit more, this is one of my favorites. The mind needs books like a sword needs a whetstone. The mind needs books like a sword needs a whetstone if it's to keep its edge. That muscle memory. George Martin was the author of that. So here we are, homework. We're going to, each week, the homework kind of elevates just a little bit, but I'm going to take you to our website. I say our website. It's keithhertling.com. You might have been on there before. There is a habits video that was created by our own Andrew, and it's not a very long video, but it's a quick one just to get you a bit inspired, and you can look around the website if you like. There's a book list. There's reflections. There's stuff that might be useful to you. You're not there to buy a book. I know most of you have the books. I'm not selling books. Mm-hmm. But here's the trick. Here's your homework. You've got to pick something to memorize. Now, it could be something as simple as the seven principles. My list as I was going through is, you know, poems obviously are big. Scripture is big. Songs. I know my grandmother used to memorize the Gettysburg Address. Everything, you remember how that starts? Four score and, right? Yeah, some of us know that one. Martin Luther King quotes. Probably my most favorite was a couple years ago we had a challenge at one of our rallies when we had our sub-above rallies, and I said, hey, if anybody can memorize a couple lines of that manifesto, I'll work up a prize for you. And it wasn't the next visit, 2 weeks later, a kid stood up and said, I think I can give you a couple lines, and he recited the entire manifesto. So be careful what you challenge. And some of us can really work our brains more than others, but memorizing stuff, again, these are just some of the things. And the key here is next week I will randomly pick someone to recite what they are going to memorize. So as you turn in your homework, you're going to tell me what you've memorized. Now, I don't know if you have or not, but we're going to find out randomly. So that's the fun part of it, and so that's it. So again, we're going to lead into next week is going to be our first week of habit number one. And I want to finish up by just mentioning Beth Williams. Beth Williams is franchisee. You might know. You might have heard of her name. But, you know, when we threw the challenge down last week of, hey, anybody want to take the lead on this group me? Well, she was the one. There's always one. Remember that coach's creed. I'm only one, but I am one. Well, she has volunteered just to organize that. It's pretty simple, but I'll send out an email to everybody top of the week or tomorrow or somewhere along the line where you can jump in there if you want and become part of the group me. You can share just about anything I think some of us are familiar, but questions, pictures, anything about leadership, obviously this is what we're going to be talking about, and the seven habits. So enough for now. Enjoy Easter. Spend some quiet time figuring out what it really means. Hopefully we can do that. And we'll see you next Thursday. Arrivederci.